You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 447, recorded August 2022, posted April 2024. A show-off assassin.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a dungeon master. I use he, him pronouns. And today we are continuing, possibly concluding, the Candlekeep adventure, The Price of Beauty. We are in the middle of combat. Allow me to introduce our players in initiative order as they are possibly murdered by a coven of hags that they have come into conflict with. First up, it's James Thompson. Hi, James.
Hi, I'm playing Nyassa Nightweaver, a high elf rogue ex-assassin who really wish she'd paid attention on how to see invisible creatures.
Well, the answer is you can't see them, but you can smell and hear them. Also joining us, it is Annette Weirstra. Hi, Annette.
Hello, I am playing Valente, a elven druid. We are both she, hers. I am also an assassin and sister to Nyassa.
Next up, it's Aline Sims. Welcome back, Aline.
Hello, I am Jasper the Tabaxi Monk. We both use she, her pronouns. I need to get out of this square so I'm not glowing green and granting combat advantage. That's my to-do list for today.
Also joining us, Monty Ashley, everyone's favorite Monty. Take that, Monty Belmonte. Monty, I don't know if Jasper leaves that square, is that enough, or having been in the square is bad?
Leaving the square is enough. This is a static cube of glowing stuff.
Thank you for allowing me to interrupt your introduction with a question. Now joining us is Monty Ashley.
Hi, I'm Monty Ashley. I play Townley Mountain Taker. Both of our pronouns are he, him. Townley is a warlock for the Queen of Air and Darkness, a archfey.
An adventure hook I promise to someday deliver on by the year 2030 or earlier. And last but certainly not least, everyone's favorite pal on the internet, Micah Sargent.
Oh, hey there. I am playing Ashguri Lonewalker Makotatahani, known as Lonewalker, a Goliath Paladin. He and I, as you might have guessed by that intro there, both use he, him pronouns.
All right. So our adventurers have fought their way to the third and final floor of the tower built outside of a spa that is more than it seems, because a priestess, Silvari, set up this spa in the wilderness to just offer services to help people, you know, just live their best lives. And sometime in the past, she was pushed out and imprisoned by a coven of hags. Dread Morgan, Vile Sansa, and Auntie Greenbones, or as they are sometimes known, Greensong Azirsa, and the third one.
Wow.
Sorry,
canon.
Parents really lost creativity there at the end.
Morgana. Morgana, elf name, hag name, Dread Morgan, Greensong, aka Auntie Greenbones, and Azirsa, aka Vile Sansa. You know what's great is having three NPCs that also then have separate names, so you have to store six names in the old head, and you got to line up those names with other names. It's great for Tony's. But yes, you have fought your way to the top of the tower into the Hag's lair itself. You popped up at the top of a spiral staircase where the hags are lying in wait. They are invisible, but they all become visible as they cast spells attempting to destroy all of you from the kind of, you know, killing zone that you have all placed yourselves in. I think first thing that's going to happen, there's going to be three different spells. Auntie Greenbones looks across the tower at Nyassa Nightweaver. And she has identified you as the threat. I'll remind you that Auntie Greenbones is bloodied, has taken some damage. The other two hags have not. And Auntie Greenbones is going to cast Dominate Person on Nyasa Nightweaver, attempting to turn her into a thrall to the Hag Coven's will by turning the greatest, what they see as the greatest threat among the group, into a weapon that they will use to slay everybody else.
I'm frankly insulted.
Well, you know.
Do any of them look mad about not having swords? Is that a possibility?
They do not look mad about not having swords. They look like they are magic casters.
Who owns those swords?
I think people that are no longer with us. Oh, who owns the sword that you, the swords you threw out the window?
Mm-hmm. That I have on my back. Yeah.
No, I mean, some listeners or some players may be able to do some figuring out based on who sleeps where, because this is clearly the hag's nest. Because you threw those out from somebody's a bedroom on the first floor of the tower. So I'll let you think about that. But anyway, the Auntie Greenbones casts Dominate Person on Nyasa Nightweaver. She attempts to beguile a humanoid she can see within range. You must, Nyasa, succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be charmed for the duration, which is a while.
So this is being charmed. I have advantage, yes, against being charmed.
I was going to say you also would have advantage because they have already been hostile toward you. So you have advantage against being charmed.
Okay. I can also, if I fail any of these things, I can use my psych. Well, let's look this up. If you fail an ability check using a skill or tool.
Not an ability check.
This is not an ability check.
No, okay. Yep. Just double checking. Yep. Because I've got a whole lot of psionic things that I've never used.
Double ability checking.
Roll your saving throw already, Staller.
Oh, come on. So this was wisdom.
I mean, remember, James, if you succeed, all of that rules wrangling is moot. So
I know.
Yeah.
It's called building suspense. What?
Roll the die. Specifically, roll two die and take the higher.
Okay. I got 18.
All right. You briefly have kind of a mental image of the hag kind of forcing you to slit the throats of everybody. You get to decide the order on that. I'll leave that up to the player. But you shake it off. These are some pretty impressive spells the hags are chucking out at you. They tried to make Lone Walker dance forever. They tried to take control of Nyasa Nightweaver. But yeah, James, because you have succeeded, do you now need to do any more rules lawyering, or are you done?
No.
No, all right, good.
Can I now see her?
Yes, she is visible. Okay. All right. All the hags are become visible as they cast these spells. Dread Morgan was kind of hiding over in one corner. And you charge in her direction, Lone Walker. She is going to point in your direction and cast Blight on you. You must make a Constitution saving throw.
Gladly. Oh, you're not even going to tell me what the save is.
It's a 12.
You know, sometimes you roll low is a thing that happens. So I got 4.
All right. This is bad. You feel yourself racked with necrotic energy as the blight spell, like it's like stuff inside you is withering, a Lone Walker. This does, say it with me, everybody, 8d8.
Oh, damage. My God.
32 damage to you, and if it matters, it is necrotic damage.
I'm just making sure I don't have any sort of special thing.
Yep.
We should have just enjoyed
this.
This
isn't a disease, is it?
It is not a disease.
Okay, that's just okay. Yeah,
it would have no effect if you are undead or a construct. So backstory. but if you are
wait, I just remembered.
Yeah,
if you were a plant, it would have been even worse. So you know, be careful with those backstories.
Ooh, I do have some reactions. Let me see. Okay, no. All right, so this was how much again? Sorry, 32?
32 necrotic damage.
Oh, we're fine. It's fine.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm lying.
Oh, no. How bad off are you?
I may have 5 hit points left is what may be the case for me.
Okay. Vile Sansa has not cast a spell yet. She is looking around. Lone Walker looks like he's in bad shape. I feel like Valenthe and Townley are probably just a little bit hard to see positionally because of where they were. Like,
we are
in the
both
stairwell.
Glowing.
Oh, okay.
I'm not glowing.
Valenthe's not glowing. Townley, Vile Sansa is going to point in your direction, and you recognize, you have just enough time to recognize the same spell that was cast on Lone Walker. This is Blight, headed in your direction.
Go ahead. I was going to counterspell it, but I ran
so
out of spell
original.
Spots.
So original.
You don't, you're out of counterspells, or?
I'm out of the counter spots, yeah. I'm a warlock.
All right. The Blight spell heads in your direction. You need to make a constitution save. The number is 12. Just gonna roll 8d8 here, Eddie, just for fun.
Go ahead. I got a 2.
You
a
take...
1 plus 1.
Oh, wow. You take 35 necrotic damage. Are
I am
you...
out.
Good God.
I was gonna say you are a warlock. I feel like that would be bad for you.
It is bad for me.
What kind of spell is this?
It's a spell. It's good, you know.
It's a ridiculously powerful one.
Blight is a it's a good spell. I'll tell you, you know, monsters use the same spell book that all of you do. So, you know, that seems like maybe that's something that we could see from Townley in the future if Townley lives. So
my fairy fire goes out.
Oh, so I'm just going to just give you kind of a little bit of a breathing thing here is that like two people have taken a significant amount of damage. Townley is unconscious. Lone Walker is badly hurt. There are three hags, one of which is already badly hurt. I don't know. Do any of your characters know much about hags?
I mean, I've traveled a lot. I feel like...
They're fey, right?
Yep, they're fey.
I mean, sorry. Go, continue. I have a thing, too. You finish. I just wanted to confirm that.
I was just going to say I could roll a history check, but I don't have like a particular background beyond... Like, probably heard rumors on the countryside.
Lone Walker is fey-touched.
Mm.
So, would maybe have some knowledge of that.
All right, I'll let you roll stuff on your turn as free actions to see what you know.
If I were conscious, I would argue that I know lots of fey things.
Oh, yeah, Queen of Air and Darkness.
where's
you
your queen
still know
now?
Them. Yeah.
Oh.
Nyasa Nightweaver, you are first. You are not dominated. Half the floor is covered in ice. And there are three hags hurling spells at all of you.
Okay. I should go after Auntie, but if I go after Dread Morgan, I can do more damage. I can do my if I hit, I can do my 4d6 plus whatever against Dread Morgan, but I can only do a
more
little.
Damage is good, I think.
Yeah. I would attack Auntie Greenbones first if you can and kill her, and then Dread Morgan, and then Vile Sansa.
All right, I'll That's give
true.
It a go.
It does reduce a scale, spell.
Yeah. All right. I am going to, I will try my psychic. Well, no. Will I do psychic blades?
James.
Actually, wait, question. Has Dread Morgan been injured?
No.
The only
all,
one that's been injured is Auntie Greenbones, which is why I think
she's
should
bloody.
Focus her out first.
I know she's bloodied, but I just couldn't remember if we'd done any to Dread Morgan or not.
And I'll just remind you, you know, these are substantial creatures. They're a challenge rating 3 if you needed a number. You're not going to, it seems unlikely that a single hit is going to take out a bloodied hag. It's the, you know.
So I can firebolt Auntie for 2d10 damage, or I can do 4d6 plus 4 against Dread. Best case.
And which are you going to do?
Well, let's take out Auntie. Let's see if that works. Because why not? That is a 17 plus 2, 19. Will that
19
hit?
To hit. Auntie Greenbones gets fire bolted from across the tower.
Yep.
Oh, she says to you.
Carefully shot so as not to melt the ice underfoot.
Mm.
So that's an 8 and an 8. 16.
All right.
Yeah, 16.
Auntie Greenbones looks as if she is having a rough day.
I am going to hide behind these boxes.
Okay. Valenthe.
Okay, I am going
Health
to
is a
start...
team resource, James.
I know.
With a...
So is Hayek.
And if you'd hid first, then you would have had sneak attack on that attack.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with doing my bonus action to do a healing word on Townley.
Okay.
And that's 11 points.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We don't want you to die unless I decide.
Sure.
Then, well, you know, someone's got to pay me and I can't be your friend. Mm.
Goths make the best friends.
Assassins. Let me do a moonbeam now on anti-green bones. Can I do the one's a bonus.
Moonbeam's an action.
This is an action. So what happens?
What are the rules about casting two spells in one turn?
I don't know.
I think you can't unless it's a cantrip or something.
Okay. Then I will throw my knives. I have two knives. So first knife, 11.
It clatters against the ice.
And second dice, 10.
It clatters against the one that already clattered against the ice. Double clatter.
That is it. That is my turn. I think I am going to just move over here to kind of spread us out.
All right. Jasper, welcome to the battlefield.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about the
ice over a bunch.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. I didn't do that. That was.
It was like that when we got here.
Valente, tell us about the ice.
Difficult terrain.
It is difficult terrain. So you need to do if you go on.
I think it's actually worse than difficult terrain. Difficult terrain would just cost you extra movement. I think possibly this requires a dexterity check to traverse it. Is that what it
does? It does. Yes.
So, which on the plus side is like your bread and butter, right, Jasper?
Well, so if I wanted to, I just want to move into this square that's adjacent to Anti-Greenbones here, and it's only half ice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it
and
also.
I don't really want to.
Sorry, it also means that if someone is concentrating on a spell, they have to do a check to see if they can keep concentrating.
No one is currently concentrating
but
on a spell.
They are not, yes.
Yeah.
No, it is just difficult terrain.
Oh, okay. Then it just costs you a little bit of extra movement, okay. Jasper. I thought there was something about people falling down.
If they are there... Oh, no. If you're there for the first time or you start your turn there, then you have to make a dexterity save. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. It is a dexterity saving throw. DC 13.
Okay. So I need a recap. I got lost somewhere along the way.
That was because I explained that
poorly.
That's
okay.
It is difficult terrain... When you enter the area for the first time or at the start of your turn, you must make a dexterity saving throw. If you don't, you fall over.
Then they should have done that at the beginning of their turn.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
So
I have rolled that. What do I have to get on my dexterity saving throw?
13.
They both failed it. They both had to use their move action to stand up.
That's so better.
They started their turn.
And then just a little bit less dignified.
Yeah, then stood back up and then hurled horrible spells at you. Also, I believe they would have done that while invisible. So only Lone Walker saw them and Lone Walker was faced the other direction. So, Jasper, you are entering the ice. Roll us a dexterity saving throw. You have to get a 13 to not fall down.
22.
All right. You skate right up to Auntie Greenbones.
Okay. So I'm going to first hit with my short sword. That is a 23 for, max damage, 9 points of damage. And then with my other hand, I'm going to... hit with my claws. That is an 18 to hit.
That'll do it.
And another max damage.
Woo, 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 woo.
6 points of damage. Is she still alive?
She is not. Aline, tell us how Jasmine just... Or sorry, not Jasmine? No, wait. J- Jasper. Jasmine is a Steven Universe character, I think. Tell us how Jasper just slayed Auntie Greenbones.
I think that it's just a matter of, you know, like the death by a thousand cuts. It's just that last slash.
She has been stabbed. She has been hit with psychic knives. She has taken many an affront. And that last claw attack was the last one as she falls to the ground, you know, her body getting covered with like just a thin veneer of ice. Now, Townley is still conscious, is now conscious, having been healed.
I want to move back out away from the icy area just so I'm not starting my turn back over here.
And so you do. Townley is conscious, and so Townley has the thought flicker across his brain. His knowledge of creatures of fey origins knows that, you know, hags often operate in trios. It's basically kind of part of their way of being, in that hags are actually really bad at cooperating, and two hags would just fight and end up killing the other one. So they need a third hag as like a tiebreaker, and any more than three, somebody gets killed and they end up with three. But that the hag's magic is deeply, deeply tied to the power of the trio. And were somebody to take off one leg of that stool, as it were, they would no longer be able to cast many of their most powerful magical spells. Hmm.
I tell everybody, always three there are.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Jasper, you have moved back. You've attacked. Are you done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 done.
Townley.
All right. I gingerly step up, walk over to the boxes, and look Dreadmorgan in the eye, and blast him with Eldritch Blast.
All right.
An 11 and a 19.
19 will hit.
10 points of psychic force damage. Sorry, force.
All right.
Pew!
Pew! Dreadmorgan is hit by psychic damage. Force damage. Anything else?
Can I look through this crate next to me?
Yeah.
What's in this crate?
This crate is full of shoes.
Oh, all right.
Some cool. of them.
I got some loot, guys.
Some of them might still have feet in them.
Ew.
Hey, guys, I think these bags were creepy.
Yeah.
They nasty.
Lone Walker, you are badly hurt, but you are face to face with the hag Dreadmorgan. What do you want to do about it?
Well, so this is the problem, is that I had an idea and then I remembered that I was about dead. So I think I need to address a little bit of that.
Second wind is always an option. It is an action.
There's second wind in fifth edition?
Am I making that up?
There is for fighters. I don't know that it is for paladins.
I think you're remembering
Gamma World again.
Gamma World.
Oh, God. You know what's great? It's playing multiple RPG systems in one week. It's just lovely. You're right. It's a fighter thing. I think of Lone Walker as a person who fights, but they are a paladin, not a fighter.
I think what's going to happen is there's sort of this light that shines above Lone Walker, and the room kind of brightens as all of my allies and myself included regain hit points equal to 2d8 plus 2, which I will roll in a moment.
Wow, this is a big spell for that level.
Yeah, it's a second level evocation called Prayer of Healing. So let me do that spell and cross that off. We each get 7 healing. So
delicious, thank you.
Add
very nice.
7 HP to their dealy. And here's a question for you, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Were one to use a teleportation spell, would one trigger an opportunity attack in doing
so? I believe teleport does not provoke.
That is great to hear. Lone Walker is going to suddenly just disappear from his current location and reappear next to Jasper.
All right.
And that is the end of Lone Walker's turn.
All right. Team Hag is next. They are surveying the battlefield. Dread Morgan was like ready to attack Lone Walker, and Lone Walker teleported. So Dread Morgan is going to rush forward. She looks at you, Townley, and attempts to like cast a spell, and it like nothing happens. And she kind of looks at her hands and then lashes out to claw you. Let's see here. Claw attack. I have rolled a 16.
Oh, well, that'll hit me.
13 slashing damage as her claws rip across your torso.
Oh, dang, that hurt a lot.
Over on the other side of the tower, Vio Sansa starts to turn in an ice field and falls down. Spends half her movement getting back up. Does she have enough movement to get to Lone Walker? I think just barely. It's not very impressive. She kind of like limps across the ice and realizes that she has no magic left and must attack Lone Walker just with her claws. Lone Walker's in bad shape. This could go bad. I have rolled a claw attack. I have rolled a not so impressive 13 to hit.
Versus AC?
Yep.
You will not hit.
Her claws scrape across your mighty armor. Nyasa Nightweaver followed by Valente.
Has anybody been hit of these two?
Yes, I hit Dread Morgan.
Then I shall concentrate on her. Knives. I pop out from behind a box. Everybody's very surprised.
Mm. I believe you have combat advantage then, or sneak attack? Or
I something. Get a sneak
combat
attack.
Combat advantage is not a thing in fiction.
You get advantage on the attack, and because you have advantage on the attack, you get sneak attack damage.
Yes. So does that mean I get, if I have advantage on the attack, I'm rolling twice?
That's what advantage means.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds good. because I rolled a 4, which was not good. And that is a 16 plus a 7. That sounds...
It hits.
Excellent. 4d6
46.
46 damage. Mm-hmm. It's 46 plus 4. But anyway, that is 8, 10, 13, 17 damage. And
all right.
A second knife arcs across because I'm a show-off. And that is 20. So it does hit.
Mm-hmm. A show-offy assassin. Interesting.
I know. It's. and that is 1d4 plus 4 damage, which, you know, I'll take. That is... God, it's too dark. Okay, that's a 1. So that is a 5 damage.
All right. Things don't look great for Dread Morgan. All set, Nyasa?
I'm going to hide. No, I can't do that. All right. I can't hide because I did my...
You can hide.
Can I? Well,
oh, right, because you did a second attack with your bonus.
Yeah, I don't think I can hide.
All right.
I'm badly hidden behind a box.
Yes, you were behind a box. Waist high cover, but you are standing up.
You wanted to see how well you did, so you're
like, yes. Oh. Valente, Jasper, get ready.
Okay, I am going to throw an ice knife at Dread Morgan.
All right.
15 does not hit, I think.
It does not.
So then I'm going to move forward a little bit in vicinity and try to hit her with my scimitar.
All right. Was ice knife like a bonus thing? Is that what it is?
Well, I have two weapon fighting. So I can do a second attack.
Okay.
For 12 points. Also completely helpful.
It is helpful. If you stand next to Dread Morgan, I can get advantage next time.
You're welcome, sister.
All right. All set, Valente?
Yes.
Jasper is next, followed by Townley.
So I'm going to move so that I, too, can do a melee attack. Mm-hmm. Short sword first. That's a dang 10. Ugh. Claws next. That's much better at a 25.
Nice.
Rolled a 1. I'm going to take this opportunity to use a key point, and I am going to do flurry of blows to make two unarmed strikes. I'm going to make one unarmed strike. 16 just misses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But what I'm going to do instead of a second attack is I'm going to reach out and touch Townley on the shoulder and use my hand of healing to touch him for, or to heal him for 1d6 plus 4 hit points. That gives you another 6.
Thank you.
And that's my turn.
All right. Townley, what will you do with your fresh hit points?
I will toll the dead on Dread Morgan. Please make a wisdom saving throw. Your target is 15.
All right. Target is 15. Dread Morgan has plus 2 to wisdom. Has rolled an 8, which does not get to 15.
Excellent. So. Then you're taking 2d12 of necrotic damage.
2 to 12. I'm sorry, Micah. Can we still be friends?
We could still be friends.
13 points.
13 points of necrotic damage. Dread Morgan is bloodied by that necrotic damage. Anything else, Townley?
Nah.
Lone Walker, you are next. You are on ice, so I need you to make a dexterity check.
On ice, buddy.
Yeah, you're on normal safe amounts of ice, but I mean, it's a thin sheet of ice, but then there's ground right below it. So,
dexterity saving throw.
Yep,
13.
All right, how's a 10 sound?
You fall on your tuchus. If you want to stand up, which I recommend, it costs you half your movement.
Oh, okay, only half my movement.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just embarrassing.
Well, it's half your movement to stand up, and then if you try to move anywhere, that's also half your movement.
Yeah. I will stand, and as much as I'd like to attack Dread Morgan, I don't want to get attacked by Vile Saza by doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to attempt to strike this vile creature.
All right. You know, 17 is what you got to need to hit it.
I do know that. Oh my god. And you, two Warhammer strikes ring out and yet somehow both miss.
Vile smash, Saza. Smash into the ice.
Yep. Lovely.
All right. The hags are next. I will tell you, you know, it was very fun to rain down horrible spells against you, but it did leave me with all kinds of tactical choices to make. When they can't cast their spells, they can still cast some spells. Fun spells like Minor Illusion and Dancing Lights, which are not going to help in this situation. So all they can do is claw you. Dread Morgan is focused on Townley. I have rolled 21. I feel good about that. And Vile Saza has rolled a 16 against Lone Walker. Yes. That seems not great against a paladin. Townley, I'm assuming I hit you.
Sorry, what did you roll to hit me?
I think I rolled a 21.
21.
That will hit me.
And the hags are mean. You take 13 slashing damage.
No, leave Townley alone.
13, you say, well, I'm out again.
No, I'm sorry. Nyasa, you are near a box.
But I think I still get sneak attack because Jasper and Valenthe. Does it count if Townley is next to her and unconscious?
Townley is not threatening when they're unconscious.
Well, anyway, I've got two other people, so I will attempt to attack Dread Morgan. And I have rolled, that's a 15 plus a 7, that is a 22.
That hits.
46 damage. Plus.
Is that just the sneak attack damage?
Yeah.
Well, what about the weapon damage?
No, the sneak attack is 3d6 on top of the 1d6 I normally get. So it's 3d6 plus 4. 15 damage.
All right. Things aren't looking great for Dread Morgan, but still up.
And then
take two hits to go down.
The knife of just sort of rubbing salt in the wound. I'll throw another little knife.
Little knife, just a teeny.
Just
knife.
A little one.
It's like a big thumbtack.
Yeah.
It's just a baby.
Which is, that is 20?
Yep.
But that's tiny. So that's 6 damage.
All right. And Olenthe. Oh, sorry.
No, I can't do anything. I'm just like hanging out behind a box.
Yep. Just really soaking in that crate. Goodness. Like a 90s crate, first-person shooter. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to use my bonus action right at the gate and try to get Townley up again with my healing word.
All right.
With 8 hit points.
8 hit points to Townley.
Yes. And then I'm going to use my scimitar. And I have 12. But I've realized I've been holding on to an inspiration.
Can't take which, him with you.
Why am I doing that? So let's use that inspiration.
Back, about that.
Did other people remember they may have had inspiration too? 8 Would you roll a net?
An 8.
Oh.
So, yeah, no. I really can't roll.
You know, it's better that you used it than that you all died without it.
It's true.
That would have been embarrassing.
It's true. It would have been.
Jasper.
Sorry, I'm just thinking now about times where maybe second wins in certain games would have been useful.
That never happened.
Yeah.
Recordings from that era.
I'm going to repeat last time. Oh, 20 to hit. I like that much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rolled a 1 again, so that's 4 points of damage, but I'm going to slash with my claws. 19 to hit for 2 whole points of damage. Going to use a key point. Unarmed strike. I'm trying to move quick.
Yep.
That's a 12, which is a bummer. I feel like I have my announcer voice on. and
that's a 12,
reach
which
out,
is a bummer.
Touch Townley on the shoulder again. And I'm going to heal him for another 8. That's my turn.
Townley, you've been healed twice. You're conscious. You're on the ground. You're welcome to stand up.
Sorry, am I still unconscious?
No, nope, you've been healed twice.
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
You have 16 hit points, I think.
I'm sorry. I was assuming I was unconscious. So, okay, I'm going to toll the dead on Dread Morgan. Wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom saving throw. I have rolled. Ooh, I think I've succeeded. Sorry, team. I rolled an 18.
Well, you succeed, and because Toll the Dead is a cantrip, that means nothing happens.
Oh. Lone Walker, roll to see if you fall down.
Oh, my lord, why didn't I move? Oh, I know, because I didn't want to provoke an opportunity attack. That's not how Lone Walker sounds, so I don't know why.
Got a little Bugsy.
Oh, nice. 20 minus 1, a natural 20 minus 1 is 19. So I think I don't fall.
You don't fall.
Yay! And now we're going to strike out yet again. Oh, you tease. It showed an 18 and then it changed.
That's how dice work.
Yeah. So
they have several sides.
Can you use inspiration to reroll any roll?
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. I just want to be sure. So we're going to reroll that roll. So we will do this damage plus we will expend a spell slot to add some radiant damage of 2d8. So that was 10 plus 10 bludgeoning damage, 13 radiant damage.
That's 23 damage total?
Yeah, against Vile Saza.
That is a lot of damage for a paladin to put out. Okay. Vile Saza is furious at you, Lone Walker, and if it's your turn is done, she will attack you.
If my turn is done, I believe it's done, but I just want to make sure I don't have any more of those nice soul.
Rolled the die.
I do have one more Misty Steps left as a bonus action. And this will be a good time because then I don't have to worry about these stupid ice anymore. So, Lone Walker, one last time, disappears from where he is and reappears behind the Dread Morgan.
All right.
And now that's all Lone Walker can do.
All right. Vile Saza lurches forward, still kind of on some of the ice, lunges at Valente, rolls a critical fail, so does not hit. Dread Morgan is clinging to life and she lashes out at Townley, and she has rolled a critical 20 to hit you, Townley.
That's fine.
Townley, you are going to take 26 damage. I think you're down again.
As I go out, I whisper, "Finish them."
All right, Nyasa.
Fly, you fools.
Badly injured Lone Walker is now within striking distance of you, should you want to consider your options. But your friends would encourage you to attack.
And yeah, I'm going to go after Dreadmorgan because I have all these useful people grouped around her. So I get my sneak attack. It's not really a sneak attack. I mean, I've done it every turn, but that's what the rules say. That is 16 plus a 7, which will
hit.
Ha. 46 plus, what did I say, 4? Yeah, 46 plus 4. That is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 13 damage.
You have slain Dreadmorgan. Nyasa, what happens to her?
I think because I'm standing behind her and she is facing towards the others, mm-hmm. basically the knives are just going to come out of her eye sockets.
Why did I ask you? Nyasa, would you like to throw your little knife at a vile Saza who's across the room?
Of course I would. And I have rolled not particularly great. 15.
15 doesn't hit. It clatters across the icy floor. Valente.
I made somebody's eyeballs explode. So
you,
you did.
That is how skulls and knives work.
Mm-hmm.
It's psychic damage, therefore it goes in the brain. That's
okay. Okay. Valente, followed by Jasper. One hag remains, though she has only taken, I think, one good hit so far.
Well, I just rolled a 21.
All right,
with my scimitar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, some scimitar damage.
5 points of damage.
All right.
And I think should with my bonus action I get Townley up or should I try to hit again?
Get Townley up.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Can't have too many healing words left, can you?
Nope. But I still do.
I want Townley conscious to see this. He missed the whole knife through the eyes thing, so I thought he would appreciate that particularly.
Because it's eyes?
Yeah. I mean that's an assumption that you're just eye based.
I think anti knife destruction. Sorry, what did you say, Annette?
4 points.
Four
hit points for Townley.
All right.
Okay. Townley, you snap back into alertness. Is this the third time? Yeah,
it's like third time. Yes.
Back for the brink of death.
Yeah. I have definitely got a concussion.
Yeah, you are getting frequent flyer miles on the way to, you know, wherever followers of the Queen of Air and Darkness go.
We're going to dump you in that spa pool at the bottom when we get down there.
These spirals that are always in my eye are even spiralier now.
Yep. They're going, now they're going counterclockwise. Jasper, followed by Townley.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to stay in arm's reach of Townley. Doing the same thing again. Been saving my key points for just such a moment as these many moments.
Yep, so many moments. Mm-hmm.
So many moments. Short sword, 17! Yes!
Woo! That hits a hag.
Rolled another frickin' one. So that's 4 points of damage.
Those ones.
My claw attack does not hit. Let me mark off my key point here. So I can do my unarmed strike. That's an 18 to hit. Another frickin' one. 4 points of damage. And roll my d6 to heal Townley a little bit more. So you get another 6 points of healing power, Townley.
Thank you. I'll try to hold on to it.
Yeah, don't spend it all in one place.
And I am not a rogue in this game, so I cannot disengage as a bonus action, so I'm just going to chill out right here so I can get hit next.
All right, Townley, you are alive again.
I'm going to fire 2 Eldritch Blasts at Vile Sasha.
Do it.
One is a 13, but one is a natural 20 for a total of 28.
All right, you did your double damage on the 20.
Well, I will once I roll the dice.
Okay.
10 points of damage.
10 total. Yes. Got it. All right, good news for you all. Vile Sasa is bloodied. I suspect that she will live for but one more round.
And I would like to move.
Okay. You used half your move to get up from being on the ground unconscious, but you still have several squares to go. I assume you want to go not next to Vile Sasa.
Yeah.
There's a smoldering bed you could crawl up.
I want to go over here.
Filthy. There's some lovely crates full of discarded belongings you could cower behind.
Yeah, I'm going to cower behind them and get like partial cover or however that works.
Excellent.
Let me tell you, from the crates at the top, not very much.
No, these are the good crates over here, James. You went to the not so great northern crates. Southern crates, the best crates. All right, Lone Walker.
Yells. Let's see. So I've got all of my movement now. 5, 10, 15, 20. All right, so we'll swing around here and go for a hit.
You walked onto the ice there.
Do you want to go below? You want to go lower so you're not on the
Let's...
I think there's a path that you could take to get up by Jasper.
There.
That is not a treacherous cross the ice.
I keep
fields.
Forgetting about the ice.
The ice fields of
I could
the
stop
third floor.
Concentrating on it.
No, it's
all right. So you said 17, right?
Yep.
Okay, so the first swing misses. And the second swing misses. Warhammer not gonna hit.
All right. Vile Sasa is next. And I will be honest, I don't know who she wants to target. All three of you are there. I think she's lashing out kind of wildly because she is bloodied and the last of her sisters. I'm going to roll a d4 to determine who gets hit. And I rolled a 1, which corresponds to Valente. Valente, a claw attack coming your way. I rolled a 21, which I feel pretty good about.
That does hit.
13 slashing damage as her horrible claws rip across you. Nyasa Nightweaver.
If that scars, I'm angry.
I don't see any point to
do.
Doing...
Put some club soda on it to keep it from scarring. I think that's how
There's
that
There's a whole spa. We can do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am just going to do the same thing again because it's literally my one good attack. So I have rolled a 19 plus a 7, which I'm highly confident about.
We don't do math on 19s, James.
Just want to say it's plus a 7. 46 plus 4. So that is quite good. That is 10, 14, 19, 23 damage.
Oh, right. Wow. Big attack. Vile Sasa is not looking good. It's just a question of who is going to murder her before she gets a turn.
Don't forget my tiny knife.
Tiny knife.
The tiny knife bounces off a wall because I rolled a
All right. Valente, followed by Jasper.
Okay, I'm going to roll different dice to see if maybe this will help.
Yeah.
Oh, critical fail. So one scimitar move does not work. And yeah, 12. So I prove my worth again to the group.
Jasper.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to go ahead and mark off my key point right now since it's all the way at the bottom here. We're going to do short sword number 1, rolled a 2. Going to ignore that. Try the claws. Got a 12. Going to go for the unarmed strike. 16 for 22 total. We like that better.
Yes.
That's 9 points of damage.
Ooh, that's a big
and
unarmed
strike. I'm going to reach out to Lone Walker here. Since he is quite tall, also standing on a bed, going to touch him on the forearm. 6 points of healing.
Nice.
And damage.
Yay.
To help out a little bit. That's my turn.
All right. Townley, I think one good spell would take out Vile Sasa.
All right. I'm going to Eldritch Blast, I guess.
All right.
Got a 17 and 11.
17 hits. Tell me about damage. Is it enough?
It's not. It's two. 2 points of damage.
Lone Walker, if you don't slay Vile Saza, she will take out her vengeance upon one of you.
Oh, so close with that.
We could do it.
19 to hit.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
All right. So
tell me about damage.
Hold on. I'm doing the first one, which is 5. And then I need to use my last spell slot to add some radiant damage to that. And so now I need to roll 2d8, which I'm trying to do. Nope. That's a d12. Where's the 8? There's the 8. And roll. So we do 16 damage total.
And the final sister of the Hag Coven is slain by Lone Walker. And it is quiet again in the here in the Hag's lair at the top of the tower. You spend a little bit of time poking around among their belongings. It does not seem like there are any paintings here on the third floor. There is all kinds of junk that they have probably scavenged from their various victims. Honestly, you probably don't want to spend any more time up here on the third floor than you have to. There is a ring of keys, which in fact, probably multiple rings of keys among the three sisters, which presumably would let you into any of the other locked parts of the spa. And there is, somebody might want to grab, please decide quickly, a spell scroll of spell of clairvoyance that they had in their belongings. Seems like the object most of value still kicking around here. I would imagine that you
like
don't
a Monty thing.
Yeah.
Sure. I would like to cast Detect Magic for free.
With your magic eyes, you know that there are magical paintings right below you on the second floor.
Hey guys, I'm gonna grab this scroll if you don't mind. Anybody can have it.
Be my guest.
The paintings are the floor below us.
Yes.
Let's I can see them.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, you head down to the second floor of the tower. The stairs take you into the kitchen, but off of the kitchen, there is a locked room. The key, some of the keys on the keychain let you in here. And this is a very sad looking room. This is clearly a room where they keep their prisoners. Glitter, Kobold is here, as is a dragonborn that I think at least one of you met in the lobby of the tower before, and they are sleeping on just these incredibly wretched like mats on the floor. And there's kind of a weird disconnect between the kind of squalor that these prisons have been kept in on the sad straw mats and these beautiful fancy paintings set around the prison that they're in. There's four of them here. The paintings depict a brawny female golden scale dragonborn warrior engaged in battle. Just imagine kind of like a very comic book cover, golden dragonborn with their fallen enemies all around them. A tall male tiefling with sparkling violet eyes, not auburn, not blobbern, violet. wearing draped in golden chains and jewels, a youthful male shield dwarf dancing at a feast on top of a table, who bears an uncanny likeness to Falthrax Loader. Though the dwarf on the painting is much younger, he has distinctively auburn eyes, and then a radiant female moon elf gazing upon her own reflection. Lone Walker. She bears some resemblance to the
Medusa,
to the Medusa you met in the basement of the abandoned shrine. So this might be Silvari. So I think it's fair to conclude that the four paintings are unknown. You have not met her, but the dragonborn who is sweeping up, the kobold who was in charge of locksmithing and other duties around the spa. Falthrax Loader, dwarf/dishwasher, and the doomed Silvari. So four magic paintings up on the wall. I think the last thing that stands between you and the end of the adventure is, can you deal with these magic paintings in a way that will not harm you and not harm the people they are painted of?
I believe we had to destroy them with magic.
Yeah, that's what I remember as well. So I don't have much magic that would do.
I think my psychic blades are magical.
Give me, somebody give me an arcana check. I'm thinking possibly people of magical, persuasions, especially Townley.
I got a 9.
I got a 24.
24? Holy moly.
I heard somebody say 24. And
that
24.
Was Valente, yeah.
Valente, you study these paintings. You also find elsewhere in the tower, they happen to be on the first floor. There's like they have their studio where they paint. The hags have all these vile supplies they use to create these paintings. And you basically kind of study the. This takes an hour, but studying the paintings, studying the supplies, you know, you want to do this right. You believe that you could attempt to physically destroy the paintings, but there is the chance that you will take a psychic backlash from them if you are unsuccessful. You know that the only safe way to do this, which is not convenient by any means, would be to basically paint over the paintings with fresh blood from a celestial. Any celestials here?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm telling you, Micah, angel blood would just take this, would just wash this whole problem away. Do you
that's
have
the
how
only
much...
way?
Well, that would be the safest way.
Oh,
I think
safety is for chumps.
Yep. Let's just
somebody who is, they do seem like they're basically the magical nature of the paintings. They rebuff some of your kind of like simple attempts at attacking. It seems like. Somebody could attempt to kind of somebody with strong physical abilities could just like try and tear the frame of the painting into pieces.
I gotta try it.
Do it.
Thus breaking the spell, but it could be extremely harmful for the person attempting to do so.
Does anybody have like buffing things? I'm looking to see if I've got things that.
I mean, how are your hit
like
points
sandpaper?
Right now?
Sorry.
and this will basically require one person to kind of magically concentrate and another person to do a strength check.
Okay. Yeah. I'm wondering if we've got like bardic stuff where we can.
And you remember, you can help if two people are doing strength together. They give advantage to whoever's the primary person.
The two strongest people, let's go after one of the paintings.
Yeah. Technically, as long as one of you is strong, is the funny way that helping works. But, you know, thematically, it makes sense that you'd have the two strong.
Can
people.
We take a short rest while all this investigation is going on?
Yeah, it took Annette or Valente an hour to figure this out. So you've all taken a short rest.
Beautiful.
Hit excellent. Dice. Hit dice.
The victims, Falthrax Loader and so on, are basically magically compelled that they themselves cannot harm the paintings.
I would suggest that we start with this painting. And he points to the painting of the woman that he thinks he met in the basement.
Mm-hmm. Silvari. Yep.
Yeah, Silvari, thank you. Would someone here like to assist me in destroying it?
I would.
All right, so I will get advantage on this strength check. It's just a straight-up strength check or strength saving throw?
Strength check. Do you want to know what the number is? Because it's high.
I do want to know what the number is.
The number is 18.
18. Holy moly.
Someone's helping you, so you have advantage.
All right. I got a 20!
All right. Yes. You tear the... You tear the frame of the portrait of Silvari while one of your friends is kind of magically concentrating to make it possible. And it is a weird effect, Lone Walker, because the painting, the very physical nature of the painting is magic. And it like at first it kind of stretches and distorts against your physical prowess, but eventually it's enough and it just kind of snaps and the whole painting tears, and it basically, having broken the spell, like just kind of like deconstructs itself into its material components, and you realize that the you're holding the just like these horrible components of the painting. The canvas of the painting is some kind of humanoid skin. The paints themselves included various creatures' blood, and it's just in. You, I imagine you might immediately drop it. Do you want to attempt the same recipe on the other three paintings?
Did we want to tell Silvari that we were doing that?
Nah.
Oh, too late.
Too late now.
All right.
Yeah, I think so. We'll go to the next one. I'll try. I mean, eventually I'll fail, of course, but.
I have a plan for when you fail.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So, do you care which painting you do next?
It's going to be Blob. What? Go ahead, Monty.
I was going to say, yeah, Fanthrax, the dwarf you're here to get.
Dwarf you're here
all right,
to get.
So 11 on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha! 22 on the second one.
All right. Falthrax is, you see him kind of, he's been kind of standing in the doorway by the kitchen, and he's like, you can see his, you know, he's a middle-aged dwarf, but had his life essence kind of siphoned off by the hags. And he just stands up a little bit straighter. It's just, you know, his hair is changing from kind of gray to salt and pepper. Do you want to push your luck? Two more.
Push your luck.
Yeah, do it.
We will keep it going. Here we go.
No whammies, no whammies.
No whammies, mm-hmm. no whammies. Stop. That was a 15.
And?
And that was a 20. I rolled a 17 on the die.
All right. I'm going to say that was glitter. There's one painting left. The painting is of the Dragonborn. You perhaps in the intervening time gotten to, you've met her. Her name is Gorba. She is, you know, an ancient, but not actually ancient appearing frail Dragonborn. Her painting is the only one that's left.
Okay, here's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It was an 8. And yep. Here comes the second one.
Yep.
It was a natural 20.
Yes. All right. And so the hag's spells are done. You have destroyed the last of their kind of magical control over the spa. You head down the stairs and out of the tower into the clear, clear mid-evening night, you know, and they just the cool air just feels a little bit peaceful and calm. You are interested. Falthrax would like to head back to Candlekeep as soon as you can, if you're available to escort him. Silvari pokes her head out from the abandoned shrine and looks, you know, her eyes adjusting to the, you know, the starry night sky, but probably the first she's seen of not a basement in many years. When one last figure emerges from the spa, it is the spa attendant, Saith. And he is accompanied by a large dog that had been sent with him. And he's just he's coming down the path in your direction. And he says, oh,
where are my swords?
Bonne nuit. I was locked in a closet for a couple hours. And it occurs to me. Perhaps one or more of you has been seeing. I have some swords I have misplaced. Would you be mm-hmm. Would you be knowing anything about that?
No.
Lone Walker doesn't say anything.
He looks. Saith kind of looks around at you and just stares at Lone Walker very intently. No. Saith transforms. He is suddenly, he grows a tail, his skin turns a reddish complexion, his horns sprout out of his, the front of his forehead, and he says, oh, I am, sensing there is a, change in management. He looks down at the dog. The dog transforms into a hellhound, breathing fire, clawing at the ground, and says, if you are ever in Avernus, look me up. Bonsoir. And it disappears in a cloud of brimstone. And just that is bye. Where we will end bye. Our adventure. You have won the price of beauty. You have leveled up. And all that is left is to figure out which of the sisters or possibly Silvari will run this spa and which of you will head onward into other adventures, because running a small business from a distance is just really not possible, people. Look it up. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for playing. This has been Candlekeep Mysteries, The Price of Beauty. The end. Thank you.
the Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.